going to put down the movie camera now and pick up our favorite storytelling device, the microphone, as we delve into a new investigative serial podcast from Reveal.
Hi, I'm Al Letson. I'm the host of Reveal, and we've been working on a serial called Mississippi Goddamn, The Ballad of Billy Joe.
Mississippi Goddamn takes its listeners to Loosedale, Mississippi. Located in the southeast corner of the state near Mobile, Alabama, Loosedale is a small town of about 3,000 residents, and more than a quarter of the population lives in poverty. This is where a black high school football star, Billy Joe Johnson, died during a traffic stop with a white deputy back in 2008. Now, the series is not your typical true crime podcast. It's an exploration of history, Southern identity, policing, and race. It's a story about Billy Joe, about Mississippi, but also about the investigators themselves. Al Letson is not a disinterested narrator. He's part of the story, engaging his own experiences, assumptions, and traumas, even as he seeks to uncover the truth of what happened.
But this is America, and the issues of policing and justice always come back. It's a predictable cycle. A black person is brutalized or killed by a police officer, racial tensions explode, and rarely is anyone held accountable.
Baltimore City leaders are urging patience this morning after another cop was acquitted in connection with the death of Freddie Gray.
Just like when I was a kid watching Rodney King.
Pittsburgh last night after a jury acquitted a white former police officer who shot and killed an unarmed black teen as he fled a traffic stop.
And the list keeps growing.
Philando Castile.
David McAtee.
Breonna Taylor.
Drayshawn Reed.
Tatiana Jefferson.
Michael Ramos.
Corin Gaines.
John Crawford.
Tamir Rice.
Alton Sterling.
Eric Garner.
When Al first went to Loosedale, Mississippi, he was reporting the Deepwater Horizon oil disaster. But he met Billy Joe's family and made a promise to them to look into Billy Joe's death. A decade later, he made good on that promise. And Al gave us a broad outline of the story and what happened to Billy Joe. Of course, without spoiling too much of what's in the series.
The story started in 2008, in December of 2008. We're actually coming up on the 13-year anniversary of it. And the story is Billy Joe Johnson was a 17-year-old black kid who was a really great athlete. He was loved in his community. You know, like really small towns in the South, high school football is a big thing, you know. And so he was the star and everybody kind of knew him. And he was dating a white girl on and off. At the time of his death, they weren't actually together. Early one morning, he gets pulled over by a police officer. And 5 minutes later, he's dead. And the police officer says that Billy took a shotgun out of his car and killed himself with it. And at the time, they said it was accidental. And then later, the story changed a little bit to it being a possible suicide. And I was reporting in 2011. I had really just gotten started in journalism at this point. And so I was reporting in 2011 on the Mississippi Gulf oil spill cleanup. And I went to Loosedale to talk to some of the people who were doing the cleanup, and they were mostly black folks. And they told me this story about Billy Joe and said that, you know, it hadn't really reached the national media. There'd been a couple little things, but nothing major. And they felt like their voices weren't being heard. And, you know, I'm from Jacksonville, Florida. I have a lot of family members that live in rural parts of the country. And when I was hanging out with them, I just felt like I was hanging with my people. And they asked me to look into it. And I did something I never do because people always ask me to look into stuff. But with this group of people, I promised them that I would look into it. It took a good little bit before I was able to actually work on it. And mostly, I think, because, well, two things. One is that like the story is really heavy and I just wasn't sure I could do it justice for a while. And then two, going to Reveal, you know, Reveal has the investigative might to actually go out and do this type of story. So it took a little while, but we got the green light and I started working on it about 3 years ago with my reporting partner, Jonathan Jones.
And the investigative aspect is right out there for us to hear. We can feel it and hear it as you walk through this process. And I so appreciate that part of how you introduce this is by saying, typically when there is a police involved shooting, if someone dies in police custody or even near or around police, what we get is an official report. And we always begin with reporting that official report. It's true for the media in general, right? We'll just say, well, police reports say, and police reports say is almost as though this is what happened. But instead, you actually walk us through, as you say in the podcast, the lived experience of Billie Joe Johnson. So talk to us a little bit about who Billie Joe was.
Yeah, I mean, like Billie Joe, his future was bright. He comes from a pretty poor family in Mississippi. They loved him to death, obviously, and the community loved him a lot. He was a great football player. He had scholarships from all the top colleges, offers from all the top colleges. I mean, he was really getting ready to go somewhere. I think one of the stories that I think about a lot that actually didn't make it into the podcast because we just had so much material, but a couple of his friends told me that when they were like 16 years old, they had taken their older brother's IDs and had went to the big city, which was Mobile, Alabama, to go to a nightclub, And so they went through all this stuff to get these IDs. They get into the nightclub. They go up to the bar. And all the other guys are ordering like a beer or whatever. And Billie Joe orders a Coke. And everybody looks at him like, we went through all of that for you to come here and get a Coke? And he was just like, yup. So, I mean, that is like the type of kid that he was, He stayed out of trouble. I think, what you hear in the podcast is that there are allegations that he was abusive. The only people that backed up those allegations would be folks who are tied to the case a little bit, and not to say that those allegations aren't true, just that like I couldn't find anybody who really corroborated those. But he was, a lot of people that I talked to said like, he was a big guy, but he was really gentle. Like they literally, his nickname was Big Baby. So yeah, he was a good kid.
Now we also get to know more than a little bit about this small town police force. And not only in the case of what happened here with Billie Joe Johnson, but broader patterns and practices. And I'm using that language of patterns and practices purposefully, given that they ended up under consent decree, although did not, as part of that settlement, did not end up having to, indicate that they'd actually had wrongdoings.
Yeah. So those are two different counties. That's the Madison County and they're in George County. Let me kind of rewind a little bit. So what we did in this series is I've been thinking a lot about like not just Mississippi, but the United States and how we have all these lived experiences of what Black people go through and the collective, for lack of a better term, the collective trauma that we all go through. I think that, one thing that I noticed, and this is kind of a little bit of a blanket statement, but one thing that I noticed that like with a lot of colleagues, both white and friends who are white, is that like they don't have the same collective trauma. They can see, like, for example, when George Floyd died, a lot of people were obviously upset about it. We saw all across the country people come out on the streets, and absolutely. But I think that like with Black folks, it's a different kind of trauma, because it brings back all the other times that this has happened. Not just the cases that everybody knows about, but the cases that like, family members know about that don't get the publicity. And so what I wanted to do is really try to help listeners understand like how that collective trauma is carried both in the community, in Billie Joe's family, and also like, in myself. So we took stories from all over Mississippi that connected to what was going on in George County around that time. So we have some reporting that like in George County, the type of things that were happening in Madison County, i.e. like the police setting up barricades and checking everybody's ID when they're going from one part of town to the other, the police harassing or pulling black folks over for really no reason. Like, all of those things kind of connect together because it gives context to the time and the place where Billy Joe was living.
As you talk about that experience of experiencing one kind of racial moment while your white colleagues might be experiencing something different, that's also part of the podcast. You are very much present in it, as is your reporting partner. And you all have conversations about kind of how an interview went or what you're thinking about sort of how the investigation is going. And it is certainly a frank and revealing way to hear that kind of interracial conversation.
Yeah. I felt like it was really important to let the listener kind of in on like how race not only works in this case, but how it works in reporting this story. And I think, you know, like, people are having these conversations all the time. We just tend to not record them. And I have to give it up to my reporting partner, Jonathan Jones, that, like, you know, he took a deep breath and dove into the deep end with me, even though I know, like, it was definitely scary for him. I mean, on one side, especially the conversation that we have in episode 6, I think his big worry is that, like, he was going to be looked at as, like, the clueless white guy. You know, on the flip side, my biggest worry about putting that out is that I would be labeled as the angry black man. And so both of us just kind of had to trust each other to go in and actually just put it out there. I mean, ultimately, like, I really don't care if someone thinks I'm the angry black man, like, whatever. At this point in my career, if I don't get a job because people think I'm the angry black man, I don't need that job. So, but I do think, you know, it took a lot of courage for JJ to be honest and open the way we were.
You know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking about your interviews with Mississippi white police officers who say there's no race problem here. That's something of the past. And on the one hand, you know, I hear that as patently ridiculous, right? That, you know, without even going somewhere, I can just look at the demographics and I can show you there are racial inequalities. On the other hand, as a Southerner, I gotta say it also resonated with me that, like, actually, interpersonally, I actually find the warmest interracial experiences in the South, that the most sort of regular, you know, presumption that black people will be in public space, for me at least, happens in the South. And that actually all of my most sort of horrifying interpersonal racial encounters happened not below the Mason-Dixon, but above it.
Right. I think you are 100% right. Explaining race in America, if alien beings came to the United States, it would be so hard to explain the twists and turns that race takes in the United States. You know, after we interviewed that former police officer and he said that there were no racial issues, the next thing you hear in the show after JJ and I's conversation is me talking to a black alderman, Carrie Molds, there. And she basically says she doesn't see racism that often either. And I felt like it was important to have her experience to kind of, because I know what the listener is going to be thinking, because the same thing I'm thinking, like, that's patently ridiculous. But then the lived experience of a lot of black folks is, it's complicated. It's really complicated. It's not like cut and dry. And, you know, I think that, you know, the thing for me about the South is the South has clarity in a way that a lot of places in the United States do not. Like, I know where I'm not wanted in the South. It's clear. I also know very clearly where I'm celebrated and not just tolerated. And in my home city, Jacksonville, Florida, I feel that so much. Like, I feel like I'm loved when I go home. That being said, there are places that I don't go because I know that those places do not love me. And then when we dig a little bit deeper and we look at, like, what the racial inequality actually looks like, it's like, you know, black neighborhoods in my city tend to be the neighborhoods that flood, right? Tend to be the places that don't get the same help that white neighborhoods do. It's a very, you know, tricky thing and hard needle to thread.
I don't want to give away anything in this podcast because I want folks to walk this investigative journey along with you, along this kind of sonic and emotional and sometimes traumatic journey. But what do you feel like you can tell us and tell the listeners of The Takeaway about about how they should be thinking about approaching this. And as they begin to listen, what are some of the twists and turns that they might be able to expect?
Yeah, sure. When we first started working on this, I had a vision in my head, and it was really hard for me to describe to the team like what I was trying to do, what I wanted to do. And I think that was because I think a lot of these type of investigations, when they get turned into podcasts, they end up becoming very true crime in their viewpoint. And I have no problem at all with true crime. You know, people love what they love. I'm not gonna ick on the thing that they love. I would just say that I did not want to do true crime with this. What I wanted to do is really dive into the complexities of the case, of the place, and of, you know, the United States and how race works in it all. And I think that what we've been trying to do is look at this from the angle of, this is what happens in an official investigation. This is what happens in the community who is completely disconnected from that investigation. And then the results, this is what it looks like. This is why nobody is happy with the end result, because the community is kept out of the investigation. The way that the investigation looked at the family or treated the family felt like, you know, oh my goodness, these people are just like making a lot of noise for no reason. And there's plenty of reason why the community and the family were making a lot of noise. And so what we're trying to do is to show what that gap is and to show who's on each side, and also to remind, you know, the listeners every step of the way that Billy Joe was a human being. He had family and people who cared and loved him. And he's not a character in a podcast you love, but he is a person. He had weight. His life mattered. And also on the flip side, like, you know, he was in an on and again, off again relationship with a young white girl. And I would say that, like, what we're really trying to do with that is also say she was a 17-year-old girl. She was not some diabolical planner, you know, trying to get back at Billy Joe. She was 17. Doesn't mean she was great and pure. Doesn't mean she was, you know, bad and evil either. She was a human being. And so I'm just trying to make sure that Billy Joe's family retains their dignity in the telling of this story, that Billy Joe's life matters, and that we also frame everybody in the light of, these are human beings, and sometimes maybe they didn't like reach up to the standard that we would like them to. But I do believe that, like, and this is like me coming from reading Brené Brown, I do believe that everybody is trying their best in some way, shape, form, or fashion.
Last question. As you were bringing up Billy Joe's family, have they heard it? And what do they think about it?
Yeah, it's complicated. Yes, they've heard it. And yes, they love it. They're not crazy about some of the things that some people said, obviously. But it's important to me that the family be with us every kind of step of the way. And I think when we first came down there, you know, 3 years ago, they weren't listening to podcasts. They didn't really even understand like what it was that we were trying to do, because it's not really their medium. So they were super generous and let us in, even though they didn't quite get it. I mean, I think if we had came down with cameras, they would have definitely understood it. But like, radio is, you know, something that they don't really, they listen to, you know, regular radio, like the hits, right? That being said, like, now they listen to it, they really enjoy it, and they're in it. You know, we had our final meeting with them, I guess, about 3 weeks ago now, which will be coming out this week, and you can really hear how that went. It's complicated, like everything in this case.
Indeed, complicated and very, very much worth listening to. Al Letson is the host of the National Investigative News program, Reveal, and he's been working on this investigative podcast, Mississippi Goddamn, The Ballad of Billy Joel. Thank you.
Thank you.